Indeed, thankful for Chloe getting to come home today. Thankful that the Lord has been gracious to Ravi and Debbie, and we thank Him now. We prayed a lot for him and asked His grace, and now we thank Him for everything He's done for our brethren and praise Him and give Him all the glory for that. Let's turn in our Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 1 in my text, but I want to try to eventually skip over to chapter 2. I want to read chapter 2 to start out with. Proverbs 2. And we'll just read the first six verses. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. And the book begins in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now Solomon was used to pen these Proverbs. But this is the word of Christ, the Son of David, the King of God's Israel, the King of God's elect Israel. Like all Scripture, this is the Word of our God, our Savior, our great King, the Lord Jesus. And tonight we're going to see, for those who seek the Lord in His Word, He says that the Word makes wise. God, through this Word makes sinners wise. Wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation. As I behold our children growing older, and mine included, it presses upon me the fact that I have a very short time preach the gospel to you. I have a very short time to preach the gospel to you. The world is waiting to swallow you up and carry you away. That's what the world will do to most young people. They grow up and they're swallowed up in this world. When I saw Chloe suddenly become sick, and become so weak, it pressed upon me the truth that our life is but a vapor. It's just a vapor. When you're young, you think you have plenty of time to seek the Lord. You got plenty of time to read His Scripture and hear the gospel preached and all those things. You got time to think about those things. But there's not anybody that's guaranteed tomorrow. Not anybody is guaranteed tomorrow. I read one time about Spurgeon. He was working and trying to work on his message, and there was a child, I can't remember now if it was his grandchild or what it was, but playing around him, and he took that child and he pulled out a little string of thread and he said, go out in that cemetery. See if you can find how many graves are that long. I believe he stretched it out as tall as that child was. I said, go see if you can find any plots in that cemetery this long. And the child came back and said, I found a lot of them. And that's so, brethren. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Our life is a vapor. And if you don't have Christ, you're like a man walking on the edge of a large crevice in the earth. Just one slip and it's over. One slip and it's over. In the time it takes you to breathe your last breath, you can be standing before God and not have a righteousness in which to stand. Those that don't have Christ right now, the only thing between you and eternity in hell is God, who this book says is angry with the wicked every day. Those outside of Christ have nothing between them and the awesome fury of God's just wrath. Nothing. That's why it's so important that you come and hear this word preached and follow along when the word's being preached and look at these scriptures as we turn to them. And not only that, but then go home and make time. Make time to search these scriptures and concerning the things that you heard preached. And call on God and ask God to give you an understanding. To ask God to give you spiritual discernment. There's nothing so important as this word. Tonight I want to meet you where you are. I want to meet you right where you are. I realize I have to take advantage of the time that I have. I have to redeem the time and teach you while I can teach you. And so tonight I want to meet you where you are. I want to meet you with some very basic, elementary truth. Everybody here can understand this. God says, if you hear the gospel of Christ preached from His Word, and you study this Word, and you seek Him in His Word like you would seek for a hidden treasure, and call on God to give you an understanding, God says He will. God says He will. First of all, Christ is speaking here, and He says that by His Word, He's able to make you, look at verse 2, He's able to make you to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That's what He's able to do through this book. To make you know wisdom and instruction, to make you perceive the words of understanding. Through the preaching of the Word, through the preaching of God's Word, God makes us to know wisdom. Christ our wisdom. To you that are called, whether Jew or Gentile, to you that are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it's because of God is Christ made unto you wisdom. He says through this Word, He's able to make you to know wisdom. Make you to know Christ our wisdom. This is where everything begins, to know Christ our wisdom. Because by Christ our wisdom, then, we're given instruction. He says He makes you know wisdom and instruction. That word instruction means correction, chastisement. That's what it means. You see, when you're brought to know Christ, who is wisdom, that's when you're instructed. That's when you're corrected. Christ is the way. And when we're brought to behold Christ, that's when we're chastened. That's when we're corrected from all the false ways, all the vain ways we imagine in our minds. Christ is the truth. And when you behold Christ, it's through the Christ our wisdom that we're chastened, we're instructed, we're turned from all the lies of men and turned to Christ the truth. Through the preaching and the study of this Word, the Holy Spirit, He says there, gives us understanding to perceive the words of understanding. He gives you an understanding, and you can perceive the words of understanding. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What does he mean by that? He gives you to know the words of understanding. First Corinthians 2:6. It means he gives you spiritual discernment. He says here, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." That is, among them that have spiritual discernment. I'm preaching wisdom right now to you that have discernment. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The gospel is a mystery, a hidden mystery to men of this world. And yet God, before the world began, God ordained to reveal this mystery to every single person that He chose in Christ. And He gives us wisdom. He gives you spiritual discernment to understand, to perceive and understand the words of this book. And He gives you to know things that even the princes of this world don't know. The wisest philosophers in this world, the wisest men of this world, do not know the unparalleled wisdom that God has revealed to you and me through this Word right here. Do you think it's wisdom? You that know Him do. You know this is wisdom. I want you that have never known this wisdom to know this wisdom. I want you to know that what we're talking about here is the chief wisdom a man can know. To have spiritual discernment, to know His Word. All right, He says this to us back in our text. He says, when Christ has made our wisdom, He says then, verse 3, we're made to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Through this Word right here that we hold in our hand, we receive the instruction of Christ our wisdom. It says there, you receive the instruction of wisdom. We receive the instruction of Christ, who is our wisdom. And what does He teach us? He teaches us the best thing that can be known. He teaches us justice and judgment and equity. Justice and judgment and equity. The message of God's Word, the message of this book, the message of the gospel, this hidden mystery, is concerning the justice of God. That word justice means righteousness, the righteousness of God, the justice of God. Turn over to Romans 3 now. Romans chapter 3. Through this Word, as you hear this Word preached, and as God gives you a heart to go home and study this Word, Christ instructs us that God is righteous. This is where we have to be taught this. God is righteous. He's holy. And God will by no means receive anybody who's less than holy. He will receive no one who's less than the righteousness of God. And you and I cannot provide the righteousness we need because we've all broken the law of God. Christ is the righteousness of God. Christ is the righteousness God has provided for His people. The Son of God came down And He is that righteousness God promised for His people. He's the righteousness of God. He alone fulfilled all the law of God in perfect righteousness for His people. He alone did it. And so the only way that you and I can fulfill all the law of God and establish the law of God, the only way we can do it, sinners like us, is through faith in Christ, our righteousness. He did it. He did it. And the way to have that righteousness is to believe on Him, to cast all your care on Him. Look here at Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So see, we can't take the law and use the law to try to obtain this righteousness we need. We can't do it. We've broken the law. The law was given to declare us guilty and shut our mouth. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's made known. It's been abundantly made clear before all. The righteousness of God without you and I doing the law. It's witnessed by the law and it's witnessed by the prophets. It's what this whole book's talking about. That's why I'm preaching this right now from Proverbs 1. Because the whole book is concerning the righteousness of God. You see over here in Proverbs, the Lord gave Solomon a word to bear witness of His righteousness. And look, what is it? Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, by His doing and His dying. It's by His faithfulness. And now look who it's unto. It's unto all and upon all them that believe. Not your doing, not your attempting to keep the law, simply believing on Christ. Because there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look down at verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law through faith in Christ. That's how we establish the law. He is the righteousness of God. Now hold your place right here in Romans 3. Christ instructs us that He alone established, our text says, He teaches judgment and equity. Judgment means justice. And equity means that which is equitable, that which is right. That's what He established for God and for His people. You see, all our best works and everything that we do that, you know, as nice as you can be to mom and dad and as nice as you can be to your neighbor and you do everything that you think that is good and right, even everything that this book says is good and right. But all our very best works are iniquity. Scripture says they're iniquity. That means they're not equitable. They're not just. They don't measure up to what God says is right and just. That's why we just read up there, this is what it means. We just read, we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all our works are not equitable. They're iniquity. They don't measure up to God, to His glory. That's our very best deeds. But by the finished work of Christ, God's just. And it's right, it's equitable for God to give mercy to everybody for whom Christ died. Read now with me Romans 3:24. It's just and it's equitable. It's just and it's right. Watch this. Because we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. He justified us from all our sin. Freely, not by us doing anything, by Him redeeming us from the law. Look, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. This is where satisfaction is. This is where God will be satisfied with His people is in Christ. He set Christ forth for that purpose. To be the seat of mercy where you can come and find mercy with God. and it's through faith in His blood. He did it. Why? Look at verse 25. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. To declare His righteousness in putting away our sins. It means God did it in a way that's just and equitable. He did it in a way that's just and right. Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Last night I took Brother Henry's commentary and I opened it up to Romans 3 and I gave it to Will to read. And when we opened to Romans 3, the heading said, Just and Justifier. I said, you ever hear me say that, Will? He said, I hear you say that a lot. I hope you hear me say it every time I preach, because this is the gospel. God is just because He poured out the just due, the wrath that all His people deserve, He poured it out on Christ in our place. So He's just. The soul that sinneth has died in Christ. That is, of all His people. And He's the justifier, because in Christ He justified His people. So now it's just and it's right for God to have mercy on everybody for whom Christ died. Everybody that comes to God through faith in His Son will find nothing but mercy from God. And it's just and it's right. Now some people will tell you that back in our text, now let's go back there with me just a minute. Some people will tell you that what that teaches you is that teaches us how to do what's just and right in our lives. Well, there's no doubt about it. That's what God's Word teaches too. For husbands and wives, for parents and children, for those that rule and those that serve, and for every other relationship in this life. This book teaches us what's just and right. But you see, the first thing we have to be brought to see is that God is just and right to have mercy on His people, because He's done it in a way that's just and equitable by sending His Son to die in the place of His people. We got to be made to see Christ and believe on Christ first. And then, in that new heart God's given, these other things that He teaches us to do will be done from a right motive, constrained by Christ's love for us. Before then, we'll go doing these things that we think that the book says is just and right, and we'll be trying to indebt God to us. But when you've met Christ, then you want to do what's just and right, because you see that what He's done for you is just and right. Go back with me now to our text. So then, when He's taught you this justice and this equity in Christ, then it says in verse 4, He's able to give subtlety to the simple. What does that mean? When you come across a phrase like that in Scripture and you don't know what it means, read the next phrase. Here's what it means. He's able to give the young man knowledge and discretion. You take a man who's simple, who's young. What does that illustrate? A young simpleton. That illustrates you and me who are sinners. We're ignorant sinners by nature. And God, through His Word, is able to take an ignorant sinner and He's able to give you knowledge and discretion so that you can use God's Word and you know what's true and what's untrue. You know what is deceitful and what's honest. You know what's right and what's not right. And you have God's Word to teach you. So that through His Word, in every situation we come to in life, God teaches us in principle what we are to do in every situation. You might come into a situation in your life and you say, well, I don't see in that situation how I'm to do this or that. It doesn't spell it out for me. No, it doesn't always spell out every single situation. It gives you something better. It gives you principles that will not change no matter what the situation, so they can be applied to any situation. This is knowledge and discretion that only God gives, and He does it through this book right here, through this Word. Through this Word. It gives you what no other book can give you. The highest wisdom, the highest knowledge. Go over to 2 Timothy 3. I believe this is where I think the Apostle Paul was paraphrasing our text in Proverbs 1 when he told young Timothy this. 2 Timothy. And look at chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." That's what we're talking about tonight. Simply hearing this word preached and studying this word. That's all we're talking about. This is the instruction being given. Hear this word preached and study this word. He says, "These are the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." I can't see God and you can't see God. We can't talk to Him. We can't touch Him. But this is His Word, whereby He instructs us and teaches us. The very Word of God. Given, written by men, but it's the inspired Word of God. Look, and it is profitable. It's eternally profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. There's what those first words meant that we looked at. For instruction. And all of this doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction is in righteousness. It's what's right according to God's Word. That the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, will you hear the instruction that Christ has given us through our text? He's saying, take this book and give yourself to hear it preached and to diligently study this book. Through this, God makes men wise. Will you hear that instruction and do it? And let nothing stop you from coming and hearing the Word preached. Let nothing stop you from making time to study the Word. This is how He's going to do it. It's through the Word that God's given. Now let me show you this next thing. I want to show you this next thing. God says the person who does this is a wise man. The person who hears this instruction to seek the Lord through the preaching of His Word and through the study of His Word, God says this is a wise man. Look here, Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear. He'll hear this simple instruction that it's all through this Word. He will hear this and he'll do it. And he'll increase learning. He will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. He says here, a wise man will hear. God calls us wise if we hear this instruction to hear and study His Word and we do it. He says, that man's wise. He's a wise man. Now, would you be wise? He's wise who doesn't leave here tonight like all the nights before. He doesn't leave here tonight like all the nights before and immediately let the Word be stolen away because of something else. He's wise who'll hear this Word and not only follow along as it's being preached and truly call on God while these men are praying, you call on God to give you understanding. But also, he'll go home now and he'll make time and he'll study this Word. He'll want to see these things and take some time to meditate on these things and to truly feed on what he's heard. God says, that's a wise man. He's a wise man. And God promises this, he will increase learning. He will increase learning. God will make him increase in learning more of Christ. Look down at Proverbs 1 and look at verse 23. Look at this. This is the Word of God. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God says, He promises it. He will increase learning. And God promises this back in verse 5. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. One, it means he'll go and he'll ask those that God's already made wise by his word. He'll go and ask them. He'll attain to wise counsels. He'll go to men who can give him some counsel and tell him what this passage means or what this other passage means. And he'll ask them and they'll teach him what it means. Look there in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the word of thy mother. There'll be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. There's a lot of you, some of you sitting here who did not have believing parents. Just think of the privilege God's already given your children. He's taught you the gospel and made you wise unto salvation. So now you'll be able to teach your children. They can come to you. If they hear this word, and they can come to you and say, what does this mean? And you can teach them. And for the rest of the young people sitting here, almost every young person here, I guess every young person here, has a believing mother and father that you can go to, that God's made wise, and you can ask them, what does this mean? And they will teach you. Sometimes it's harder to go to your mother and your father. Go to one of these other brethren and ask them. They'll teach you. Come to me. I'd love to teach you. And God says, see, this is diligently seeking Him. This is really wanting to find out and know more of the Lord. Know Him and know more of Him. And God says that this will be an ornament of grace to you, chains about your neck. It's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. This light and easy yoke of Christ, it's good to slip on into this yoke when you're a young person and start learning of Christ like Timothy, who was wise in these scriptures from his youth. But also this means the wise counsels are the teachings, the truths that make up the whole counsel, singular, of God. The counsels are the teachings, all these different branches of teaching that make up the one gospel of God. And he says here, the man that's truly seeking him will attain to all these truths of the gospel. God's going to teach him. God's going to teach him. The counsel of total depravity, God is going to make him to attain so that he understands and knows the doctrine of total depravity that he and all other men in this world fell in Adam and come into this world depraved and undone. He's going to make you to know the counsels of election. He'll make you to know that the reason God didn't destroy this world as soon as Adam sinned is because before the world was made, God chose a people in Christ and they've been under that refuge, in that storm, that shelter in the storm. They've been in Him from the beginning because God chose them in Christ. He'll teach them the teaching of predestination, that everybody God chose, He predestinated unto the adoption of children to bring us into the family of God and to conform us to the image of Christ. He's predestinated the time that that's going to happen. He'll teach you particular redemption, the counsel of particular redemption. He'll teach you that when Christ came into this world, He didn't come into this world and lay down His life for all men and fail. He didn't die for men that perish in hell. He came into this world and laid down His life for those God gave Him, and He accomplished their salvation. He accomplished their redemption. He justified us from all our sins by His one offering on the cross. He'll teach you the counsel of preservation so that we persevere. He'll teach you that it's by Christ preserving us, working in us His will in almighty power so that we continue in the faith unto the end and not one of His people will be lost. He'll teach you the counsel of holiness, that Christ is the holiness within. Christ is the He's one in that new man that He's put in you, one in that new spirit He's put in you so that He's the one who's with you constantly. He's with you always so that He's the one who will keep you from the evil. Christ abiding within you. And if you're the wise man who tonight goes home and heeds this basic instruction and begins tonight seeking the Lord's face and crying out to Him for understanding and really searching His Scriptures, and don't just go at it at fit and start and stop, but really stay with it. If you're that wise man, in time, He'll make you know the doctrine of irresistible grace. He'll make you to know that on this very night when you started wanting to seek Him, it was because He in irresistible grace blessed this word to your heart and gave you life when you didn't even know He gave you life. And began drawing you when you didn't even know you were being drawn. And put that desire in your heart when you didn't even know where it came from. And He'll bring you to give Him all the glory and all the praise for working it beginning to end. But you're going to attain. He says, all my people are going to attain. They're going to know. Now, I've got one last thing to show you. God calls the man who refuses His word something awful. In verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I tried to figure out how I could illustrate this, but you imagine there was a billionaire and he hid a treasure. And he wrote a book. And in that book, he wrote down how you can find this treasure. But if anybody's going to find this treasure, he requires you're going to find it through reading his book. You're going to have to hear this book and read this book or you won't find this treasure. And he's sent men that's going to declare to you what the book says and tell you all the riddles and unfold the riddles for you so you can understand what the man wrote. And then you go home and you read it. And the man who knows there is a treasure waiting on him, all he has to do is pick the book up, hear it proclaimed, pick it up and study it. And he can find this treasure. A man that wouldn't even pick the book up, what would you call him? What else could you call him but a fool? But a fool. To fear the Lord is to reverence the Lord with affection. Y'all remember the wet helmet? To fear the Lord is to reverence Him with affection. One time I preached a message, I titled it Wet Helmet. This was the gist of it, this illustration I gave at the very end. One time Will and I were going to pick up Emma at school. We're going to walk up there. Will wanted to ride his bicycle. He's about 7. And we came out to, he was going to get on his bicycle and I was going to walk. And when we came out, he went to put his helmet on and I took his helmet and I felt in it and it left out in the rain and it was wet. And I said, son, you can't ride your bicycle, your helmet's wet. And I said, here. And I took it, put his hand in there, and I said, feel of it. And he felt it. Well, we took off, and about a block later, he said, Dad, you didn't have to make me feel it. And I kind of forgot. And I said, what are you talking about, son? He said, the helmet. He said, you didn't have to let me touch it. He said, you told me it was wet. And he said, I believe everything you tell me. Reverence, a fear of the Lord, is an affectionate reverence for God so that you believe everything God tells you is so. And you believe He's the only one who every word He says to you is true. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because when He is the height of knowledge to you, then He's the filter through which all lesser knowledge is filtered so that you know it's true or false by the Lord. You know it's right or wrong by the Lord. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge when He's your chief knowledge. He's your chief knowledge. But the man that will not hear, he doesn't have a reverence for Him. He refuses reproof, this very reproof that says, here's my word, use it. He refuses that reproof. He mocks at it and he laughs at it. He puts a knowledge, all other knowledge, above the knowledge of God. And here's what God says, verse 24. Because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you've set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. And I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Which one sounds better? Which one of these sounds better? Will you hear this word and do it? Will you start coming to hear this word preached and follow along in the word and then go home and read it and all along ask God for understanding? Listen to what God says. Proverbs 2:1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I pray that there's some young person here tonight. I pray this for all of us. That God's making us all hear this. We're all younger than we're going to be tomorrow. I hope we all are hearing this and we'll all apply our hearts to wisdom and seek the Lord in His Word. This is a promise, a faithful promise God makes. You shall attain. You shall attain. God's Word makes wise. I pray you bless that. Amen. Brother Art, when after we sing, will you...